Oh, Jacob's going to do it? Today's scripture is taken from John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18, and it reads, "Then Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?' Supposing he to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Hebrew, 'Rabuni.' Jesus said to her, 'Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her." This is the word of the Lord.
Happy Easter! Christ is risen! We hear these wonderful news of Christ is risen. Hallelujah, he is risen indeed. And all around us on this Easter Sunday, we are reminded of the risen Christ. There it be through fun Easter eggs. Wow, they're beautiful this year. I think the Chinese Wesley Fellowship Group dyed these eggs, and everyone will receive one when they leave. There's a beautiful He is Risen Easter banner sign that we put up in the sanctuary. And this morning, many of us gathered on the La Plaza courtyard area for a joint worship service with La Plaza United Methodist Church. Today, we especially celebrate and remember the risen Christ together. Let us pray. Lord, we gather here seeking your mercy and your wisdom. We ask that the words spoken today reflect your will, that you reach our hearts and open our minds so that we may know your true glory. May our thoughts be acceptable in your sight, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. So Easter Sunday, as I shared this morning with the people who came to the sunrise service, is filled with wonderful emotions, emotions of joy, of happiness, of a peace and a comfort and a sharing of the good news. But I also remind us that when we talk about the wonderful emotions of Easter Sunday, we must remember what the disciples went through, for they experienced the very first Easter. So their emotions at that very first Easter Sunday in the early wee mornings of the hours as they found the empty tomb were not joy yet, were not excitement, was not great happiness. Instead, they were experiencing emotions of sadness, confusion, despair, and just all around not knowing what to do. For we know that they had just lost Jesus 2 days before. And on that third day, when they go expecting to be able to pay homage to the body, to be connected still to that physical body, they instead see an empty tomb. And in this morning's message, we see Mary Magdalene and what she is experiencing. For these past few weeks during the season of Lent, as I talked about the different people that experienced Jesus, we have here another story of Mary Magdalene, and we see how she experiences Jesus even after he has died. We know that Mary Magdalene experienced sadness, confusion, despair, and then turned to that, to awareness, to joy, to good news of saying, "I have seen the Lord." We follow Mary Magdalene in her journey this morning and what she experienced. We know that she stood weeping outside of the tomb. And as she wept, she looked into the tomb, and two angels were standing in white, sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. It's wonderful when you think about the word angels. In Spanish, it's Los Angeles. So this morning when we were at La Plaza worshiping for the sunrise service, we heard the words Los Angeles, And a lot of us, our heads perked up by we do not understand Spanish, the scripture that was read first before English. We knew Los Angeles, where we are an angel. How fitting it is this morning that we first hear that when Mary is crying at the tomb, there are two angels present to comfort her. But she is still in sadness and confusion and despair, that she is not aware truly of what is present before her. First of these angels who ask of her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she says to them, "They have taken away my Lord, for I do not know where they have laid him." She is weeping, she is scared, she's confused, she's in despair, because Jesus, this person who she had set her life aside for, who had followed for years in his ministry, who she had been devoted to, she's seen all that has happened to him. A common word we hear on Good Friday together as Christians, as we remember Jesus' trial, his arrest, his crucifixion, his death on the cross, we hear these words that Easter is coming. Sunday is coming. We have, in a way, hope then. Yes, we are sad and we remember the sacrifice of Jesus and the pain that he went through, of being tortured, of being put through a trial, of having a crown of thorns placed on his head and his hands and his feet nailed to a cross. We know the pain. We can understand that. But we have hope. We know that Easter is coming, that he will rise in 3 days. We are Easter people, after all. We are Christians who believe in the risen Christ. So we do not have the sadness and the confusion and despair, the things that Mary went through on that first Easter morning. For she did not yet know and was not aware yet that Christ had risen. So she continues to cry before them and crying for the body of Jesus that is missing, so much so that when Jesus is standing there next to her, she does not know that it is Jesus. And Jesus then also asked her, "Woman, why? Why are you weeping? For whom are you looking for?" She thinks that Jesus is a gardener, a common person next to her. And she says, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." She is confused. She is scared because this person she had followed, this person that she had loved, this person she had even prepared his body for death, is now gone. She has lost that connection. She does not recognize Jesus standing before her, and instead she is holding on to that physical body that she needs to find. She is trying to preserve something that is not there any longer. I like to say that we are a society, I know, that tends to preserve things as well. I know there was a big excitement that Twinkies, who likes Twinkies? So do you remember, and I think it was 2013, when the company went out of business and they weren't going to make Twinkies anymore? And then there was a rush for people to go to the stores to buy all the Twinkies that they could. And then there was so much excitement that the new company that bought the Hostess company was making Twinkies again, and everyone was excited. Because what is that urban myth that Twinkies last forever? Have you heard that story? That they're so filled with preservatives and chemicals that they'll never expire, they'll never go bad. That is an urban myth, they say. The New York Times reported that the Twinkies' shelf life was really only 10 to 12 days. And even then, the newer ones that came out in 2013 with the new company could only last up to 25 days. But we live in a society that likes to preserve things, that likes to hold on things. And if you come from me, like an Asian household, we keep leftovers forever. There's also a debate with my friends who say, well, leftovers, when you eat at a restaurant, you can eat leftovers 3 days later. I have a friend who says, well, is it the first day when you order the food? Does that count as day one? Or is it the next day that counts as day one? So we have, Phil and I have friends, Marla and Anthony, who Marla says, oh, yeah, 3 days later, which is really the fourth day. Or her husband, who says the first day when you get the food made is day one. I always have an argument about that. We are so preoccupied with preserving, with keeping things, and making things last as long as possible, and especially in our Asian households, we know how to do that sometimes. But what are we preserving? Or Mary Magdalene, during that time, she was preserving, she was holding on to this physical idea of Jesus, which makes sense. She was a faithful disciple. She and the other disciples were following Jesus during his ministry. They put their full trust in Jesus. Their lives, in a way, were dependent upon him. As Jesus said to the disciples, "Put down your nets and follow me. I will make you fishers of men." And they were doing just that, including Mary Magdalene during that time. So imagine her confusion when she and the other disciples go to the tomb that morning and find an empty tomb with only linen wrappings found there. So then it makes sense when she is asked, "Woman, why you are weeping?" even by someone she thinks is the gardener before her. She says, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." She turns around and she sees Jesus, and she still does not know who is before her. But Jesus does this amazing thing. He calls her by name. He says, "Mary, Mary, Mary." And Mary knows then that Jesus is before her because he calls her by name. She turns around and says to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She recognizes the presence of Jesus before her and knows that her teacher is present before her. I told the people this morning that we seem to now become people who are spoiled. We are spoiled because we know the wonderful news of Easter. We relax in that comfort of knowing that Easter is coming, Sunday is coming. We do not suffer the way that Mary suffered. So then when Jesus is before us and calling us by name, how do we react? Do we truly react with the reverence that Mary did, calling Jesus teacher, Rabboni, recognizing him and answering his call to us? So I invite you now to say out loud, if you are willing, maybe like a dare, "I am spoiled." Say this. Okay, let's say it like we believe it. "I am spoiled." And you know I like doing this. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Neighbor, you are spoiled." You are spoiled. And turn to your other neighbor or the person behind you and say, "Neighbor, you are spoiled. You are spoiled." It's funny we hear, but in a way, it's true. And sometimes I think we laugh to hide the truth. We have become spoiled, so comfortable, so relaxed. We know Easter is coming. We celebrate the risen Christ. We have all our Easter baskets and the eggs dyed and everything's ready because we take advantage. We know that it's coming. For those of you who gave up something for Lent, I bet you're ready and willing, if you haven't yet already, eaten the thing you gave up. People who gave up coffee or chocolate or desserts, I bet this afternoon you're going to be eating lots of coffee or chocolates or desserts. Or if you remember, I told you I had a friend for lunch, she gave up rice for 40-some days. Can you imagine giving up rice for 40-some days? So my friend has a plan, and she's invited people to go out to one of those Chinese buffet places so she could eat fried rice and steamed rice and sushi and all those wonderful rice things. But she then takes for granted, we then become spoiled because we sometimes forget really what it means to have a risen Christ. A Christ that died on the cross for us. Jesus, Lord, who took human form, who underwent suffering and trial and crucifixion and died on the cross, whose body was bled out, whose clothes were gambled over by soldiers, whose body was then lovingly laid to rest by Mary Magdalene. Mary, his mother, and the other women who took spices and linen and wrapped his body and cleaned away the blood and laid him in the tomb just to rest for a while before they could find the permanent burial site for him. We don't want to become a society that's so spoiled that takes for granted the risen Christ that we stop sharing the good news, that we rely on this risen Christ, this resurrection for us. We need to instead work hard to be able to share the good news, to even go into those places where we aren't wanted to share the good news. There's a TV show on called AD, The Bible Continues, and yes, sometimes I have issues with some of those shows because they're not quite biblically accurate. But one of the commercials shows one of the disciples saying this great quote that I wrote down and will now remember. This disciple says after the death and resurrection of Jesus that we must push away our fears as we recognize the persecution we might face. I think that's something that we today can learn from as well, that we must push away our fear as we recognize the persecution that we might face. For we know as Christians we're becoming smaller, yes, smaller in numbers, in not just the U.S., but definitely other countries. We hear about Christians in other countries being persecuted for their faith, not allowed to pray in public. Can you imagine that? Where is the risen Christ, the resurrected Christ for these persons? Can we be so brave as well to share the good news to a coworker, to a neighbor, to a friend who isn't willing or doesn't want to hear the news? We must push away our fears and recognize the persecution we might face. We must be bold, not take for granted, not be spoiled anymore with the risen Christ. To know instead that you are loved, to say, I am loved, and to share that good news with others. So I invite you now to say, I am loved. I am loved. And turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are loved. You are loved. And turn to your other neighbor and really mean it and say, you are loved. So now, could you go and say that to a stranger, to a homeless person, to a person begging for money on the street when you get off the freeway, you see them by the exits, to a child starving on the street in need of food, to a woman who has been abused by her husband? Can we be so brave to say those words that you are loved? God loves you. Jesus Christ died, was resurrected for us so that you may receive God's love and mercy. Can you be so bold to push away that fear, even though you might be persecuted? Mary Magdalene just began these steps when she recognized Jesus, and Jesus says to her, do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. For Jesus is reminding her to not hold on to him physically, that physical body, that thing that she and the disciples wanted to preserve, but to let that go, to celebrate instead the risen Christ. And Mary Magdalene's answer to that is yes, because then she goes and announces to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. She tells them of the good news and of the things he said to her. These are wonderful news, I have seen the Lord. For this Easter Sunday, to truly say we are Easter people, that we believe in the resurrection, that we believe, as this banner says so beautifully in English and in Chinese, he is risen. We must also be able to say that we have seen the Lord, that we believe and have Christ in our hearts, to then spread the good news to the homeless person, to the child on the street, to the coworker, to the neighbor, to people who yet do not want to hear but need to hear the good news. We must celebrate the risen Christ in this way by sharing the good news that Christ is risen, Christ has died for our sins, and Christ will come again. For as we will later take communion together, we will say these words, but we must truly understand them, truly believe them, and then we can truly be Easter people. Let us pray. Loving God, we recognize our spoiled ways and come humbly before you. On this Easter Sunday, we especially remember the resurrection of your Son. For Jesus came, not just the Son of Man, but Son of God, who died for our sins, whose blood was shed for us, so that we may say we have seen the risen Lord, to have Christ in our hearts and continue to walk in his footsteps. We are so thankful for you, Lord, in the way that you are present in our lives, the way that you created us and called us by name. We just ask that we be worthy of this, continue to serve you faithfully. Amen. Now, as Easter people, let us remember the time that Jesus, just days before his arrest, trial, and crucifixion, sat down in that upper room with his disciples surrounded by him, just his disciples, his faithful followers for those years of his ministry. And he sat down and had a table with them, a service with them. Hear these words now of invitation. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for your joyful obedience, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And let us pray together with the confidence we have as children of God, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. invite you now to come forward as you are able to receive the body and the blood, the bread and the juice given for you.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen One. Overcome by the power of His blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive. Because He lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song join the one that never ends. Because He lives. I was dead in the grave. I was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone away. Amen. Amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because He lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song join the one that never ends, because He lives.
Let us pray. Lord, we remember the sacrifice for us, the body that was broken for us, the blood that was shed for us. As we know that we are Easter people, that Sunday is coming and today has arrived.